from the birthplace of radio's greatest era. Now, from New York, it's Radio Night Live with Kevin McCullough. Unlike anything else on radio today, it's a front row seat for great information with today's leading experts. Travel with a third generation travel icon, Linda Perillo. The Fox News Medical All-Stars featuring Dr. Mark Siegel, Dr. Marty McCary, Dr. Jeanette Nishwat, and the OG, Dr. Nicole Sapphire. Legal analysis from former prosecutor and court journalism superstar Imran Ansari and Christine Nicholas. The quintessential heartbeat to New York hospitality. All joining legendary broadcast pro Kevin McCullough on a mission unlike any other. United to bring back New York. Now, live from Studio 111, here's Kevin McCullough.
All right, man, we've got a busy news night for you tonight. Thank you for being here. And we've got Supreme Court action, very unusual stuff, just coming off the wires today. The U.S. Supreme Court vacating a federal court decision on Monday, and there was only one lone dissent in the case. I'll give you more details on that as we get to through to more of the show. But Imran Ansari is back with us per usual on Thursday. And Imran, I've been licking my chops to talk to you all week. So it's good to see you, my friend.
Good to see you, Kevin, and good to be here. Lots going on in Lower Manhattan right now.
Yeah. Well, not. if you followed all of the press, I mean, and Arthur was on top of this on his show on Monday. He talked about the scrum that was down there, and when I got an actual view of it, my goodness, there were so many cameras and microphones. I mean, it looked like World War III had broken out somewhere or something. But where are we at with this? Yesterday, they go to meet, and Alvin Bragg sends everybody home for the day. And, of course, the president thought he was going to get taken into custody on Tuesday. So where do we sit, as best we know, at this moment?
Yeah. So, Kevin, this is my take on what's going on right now. And, of course, a grand jury is a secret proceeding. That's why a lot of us out there, are it's really down to speculation or our knowledge of the process. As you know, myself, a former prosecutor who presented cases to the grand jury many a times. But my inkling is that the reason why, you know, there seems to be a delay isn't necessarily attributed to anything nefarious or, controversial. It could be simply that there was a scheduling issue, because we know that Bragg's office is intending to present what we think, or what we hear, that's what some of the rumors are, a witness to rebut some of Mr. Costello's testimony earlier this week, which called into question Michael Cohen's testimony.
Right. So let's slow down and go fast for people, because this is not a court TV audience. This is a typical talk radio audience. So Mr. Costello testified this week, so let's go back. We think Cohen is the main witness that the prosecution's going to put all this kind of weight of the testimony on. Who is Costello, and why was his testimony significant?
Right. So Costello is an attorney who is, I would say, associated with President Trump. He's represented Rudy Giuliani. And his testimony is important because, you know, he gave a presser outside the courthouse, if you will, that, you know, called into question some of the things and testimony that we may expect to have heard from Michael Cohen for that grand jury. So, you know, that's an important piece of information there. And Alvin Bragg and his office may now need to be rethinking certain strategy and how they're presenting this case, and may need to call someone to rebut that testimony if they have someone to do that. So what I think is going on down there is that there may be a simple scheduling issue where they need to bring a witness in and that witness may not be available, but also the DA's office may be looking there's testimony now before that grand jury. How do we make sure we get an indictment? Because, Kevin, if there's no indictment coming out of that grand jury, that's going to be a huge embarrassment to the DA's office. And I think now that they've dug in and they've made this move, they can't have that. You know, it's going to be a lose-lose situation in many ways.
Well, I think there are people think it's going to be a lose-lose if he goes forward with it, too. But let me ask you this. Supposedly, part of Costello's argument is that he also produced some evidence. I'm referring to a letter from 2018 that is supposedly directly debunking Cohen's entire narrative. Now, I don't know how powerful that is or isn't, but from your perspective, if you're a prosecutor on one side, how do you use that? If you're the defense on the other side, what are you thinking this letter represents? But talk to me about that letter.
Yes. So listen, that was a letter from 2018 that sort of showed that Cohen was not necessarily being all that truthful to the feds. How that can play out, you know, for the former president is that it's calling into question the credibility of that testimony that was presented to the grand jury that the DA is relying on. And that's why with Costello coming forward with that letter now, you know, part of the record, if you will, there may need to be a reshuffling of strategy here on their end. But, you know, you made a point about a lose-lose situation no matter what. You know, one big view of this is that if they secure an indictment against Donald Trump, if anything, that may be something that's going to draw his supporters out even more in force for that next election if, in fact, he goes through his plans of running. So, you know, the idea that an indictment may somehow hurt Donald Trump, there's a whole swath of people who are looking at this and analyzing it and have the same opinion that I do, that it's not going to necessarily be a traditional sense that you have a politician here, a former president, which is unprecedented, but you have a politician who gets indicted. Usually that's something that's going to tank their election prospects. Over here, I think it may have the drastic opposite effect. And in fact, you know, paint, you know, Donald Trump out to be a martyr and a victim of, you know, political prosecution.
Well, I've noticed that in the talk radio and kind of punditry circuit that that there's one effective point that I think a lot of the hosts are making that support Donald Trump. And it goes something along the lines of this. And I think on our own station, Mike Gallagher has probably said it more than anybody else. I mean, there's people like Seb Gorka that are just like, you know, these guys are all slime balls. Let's just bomb all of them. See them all goodbye. But I don't know that that's taken seriously. But Mike Gallagher, who I think is kind of more of a middle America guy, not so much just a, you know, diehard Trump supporter, says that when Americans look at this kind of from the middle of the country, we've never jailed, you know, political opponents. We've never taken somebody that was running for office and said, "Oh, we're bringing them. We're putting them in jail, so that they can't run for office." That's what they do in Russia. That's what they do, you know, in banana republics. That's what they do in North Korea. That's what they do in China. That's not what they do here. How effective of just a general public relations argument is that? Will people, to your point, will people see this as the president being prosecuted similar to the way political opponents are in these other countries, if, and this is the big caveat, if the indictment covers no more charges than what we believe them to be at present? Obviously, if Alvin Bragg comes out in the indictment and goes, "We've got Trump going down for murder one, and here's all the evidence that we have on it," I don't think anybody in America would go, "Oh, well, that guy should be running for president." But if it is what we think it is, and again, it could be more than that, there could be other evidence that's out there, is it going to be perceived as a real true, you know, this is law and order, you know, taking care of making sure that everyone's equal under the law, or is it to be seen as a political prosecution? That's a big question. I'll let you come back on the other side of the break and answer it. Imran Ansari, my co-host here on Legal Night, where tonight it's all juicy because we don't know what's going to happen. But there's lots of speculation, and I've got several other items I still want to ask him about because this is an ever kind of evolving story, even as we sit here right now. Kevin McCullough, Imran Ansari, stay here. It's Radio Night Live, Legal Night.
Listen to AM 970 The Answer on Alexa, TuneIn, iHeart, or Odyssey.com.
All right, I tell you every single week that Mike Connors will answer one of your questions, one of your real questions here personally. And Mike, this week's question comes from John in Queens. He says, Mike, my aunt died. I can't afford to pay for the funeral, but I know she had life insurance policy. Can I collect that to pay for her funeral? Mike Connors.
Well, the big question on that, who's the beneficiary of the life insurance policy? Yes, if you're the beneficiary, you can collect that, and you can work with your funeral director, and most of them, I think, will do this. If you're not the beneficiary, you may have a problem, but then again, who is the beneficiary? Maybe they should pay for the funeral. But some people are under the mistaken impression that if you have an insurance policy, it's used to pay for a funeral, and it's automatic. It doesn't quite work that way. That money belongs to the beneficiary.
Even if it's an insurance policy that's specifically designed to be for post-death expenses?
Yes, because, you know, ahead of time, the aunt could have made a deal with the funeral parlor and assigned the policy over to the funeral parlor. But if she didn't do that, that money belongs to the beneficiary.
Well, it's important to know these things. And, friends, that's why we're always telling you the biggest mistake you can have happened with your end-of-life planning is to just not plan at all. So call Mike Connors and his team at Connors and Sullivan this week. Get your plans looked at. See what you need. Maybe it's a will. Maybe it's a trust. The McCulloughs have done this. We certainly recommend the wonderful team at Connors and Sullivan at 718-238-6500, 718-238-6500. And then Mike will be ready to answer more questions from you. Just send them to askmikeconnors@gmail.com, askmikeconnors@gmail.com. And then be listening Saturdays at 8 o'clock in the morning for on AM 570 and 102.3 FM, The Mission, WMCA, and Sunday morning starting at 11 on AM 970, The Answer. Mike Connors, as always, thanks so much.
Thank you, Kevin.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Now more than ever, I want you to try Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in capsule form. Balance of Nature is not like ordinary vitamins that are made with synthetics. These are just natural food in a vegetarian capsule, and they've got tens of thousands of vital nutrients from 100% whole food plants, fruits, and vegetables. In fact, the daily dose of Balance of Nature capsules has 10 servings of 31 different fruits and veggies in it. And Balance of Nature will give you access, if you call today, to your own health coach at no additional charge because they just want you to live a healthy life. Call your personal health coach and discuss any questions and concerns you may have. This is a tremendous service that the Howard family, the originators of Balance of Nature, provide to you at no charge. Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off any new preferred order of fruits and veggies. And remember, the best defense against any virus is your own strong immune system. Start your journey to a better health today by calling 1-800-246-8751. That's 1-800-246-8751. Or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code The Answer.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Dennis Prager is tired of the fear-mongering.
Al Gore and these other crackpots have been saving the world since 1990 at least. Every 12 years we're warned it's too late if we don't do anything. And we do almost nothing except ruin people's lives. The damage that the latest panic mongers are doing is daily in the news.
The Dennis Prager Show. Weekdays at 1, right before Sebastian Gorka at 3 on AM 970. The Answer. The only station in New York that doesn't hold back. AM 970. The Answer. Back to Kevin McCullough and Radio Night Live from New York.
All right. What's going on with the Trump arrest case? That's what everybody is thinking about. That's what everybody is talking about. Imran, I'm curious. Last 72, 84 hours, 96 hours, how many interviews have you done on just this story?
Quite a bit, you know, and obviously juggling my day job. I just had a TV.
Oh, yeah. You work at a law firm. That's not even your full time gig.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, I got something lined up also after this for Fox 5. So, you know, there's
oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, we're lucky that you're part of the team here. All right. So before the break, I wanted to ask if there is nothing more revealed coming out of the indictment than what we currently think that it is. And that's a big caveat, because there could be, Bragg could have something that nobody knows about, and he could surprise us all with it. But if it is this Cohen, you know, ledger entry tax allocation misdemeanor in New York State that they're trying to turn into a campaign finance felony, if there's nothing more than that, do you think the middle of the country interprets that as a real rule of law type, you know, this is justice being done, or do they look at it more like Putin putting what's his name in the gulag so that he couldn't run against him again?
Yeah, no, listen, Kevin, I think that a lot of people will be looking at this. And even, you know, objectively, take out the partisan sort of rhetoric out of it, and you could even come to the same conclusion that the charges that are being sought now are of the kind that perhaps if it wasn't Donald Trump, they wouldn't be using the resources to convene a grand jury to get what may be, at the end of the day, if anything, a misdemeanor indictment. And now, you know, prosecutors don't typically go and convene grand juries to get a misdemeanor indictment. I mean, it's procedurally you can do it, but they're typically reserved for seeking a felony charge under the law. The felony charge here is tenuous. They have to show that the falsification of business records was in relation to another crime. And here we think that is what's being pitched to the grand jury. It would be an election fraud crime, which is a federal in the federal jurisdiction. So even legally, that's sort of potentially on shaky ground, Kevin. But it also, you have to look back, right? You have to look back at how Alvin Bragg came into the office and how he made a decision earlier on to not pursue what arguably could be more serious charges against Donald Trump. Which led to Mark Pomerantz leaving the office, and now he's writing a book. He's been out on the media trail. He's rallied against or railed against the office for not seeking those charges. And now it begs the question, are you going into the grand jury and seeking what arguably are much lesser serious crimes, an indictment on less serious crimes or allegations thereof on a political basis? Because now you have served as a district attorney, and you may be facing criticism, or you have been facing criticism about how you're running the office. And are you now seeking this to sort of rally up your support in your base at the expense of seeking charges that, you know, really would not have been sought if the person or potential defendant wasn't Donald Trump? So looking at that in a full context, I think that, you know, Trump and his supporters could take this, even if there, you know, if there is an indictment, and use it as a rallying point, and just support their support the argument that, you know, there's been political prosecutions and lawsuits up the wazoo, and it's all politically motivated rather than seeking true justice.
Well, and certainly it bolsters their whole narrative that he's going to take on, quote, the deep state in such a serious way that they'll go to any lengths necessary to stop him, right? So that's kind of been kind of the aura of his political brand since he's, you know, been in the political arena. And this doesn't do anything other than reinforce that. Let me ask you about the worst case scenario if it goes against Trump. So say Bragg comes out, They pursue an indictment. It's what we think it is. Do they put him in cuffs and make him perp walk in New York? Or do you think the Secret Service is going to create some sort of, like, you know, controlled, very polite kind of interaction in which he comes and reports? I mean, how do you think all of that goes down pending an indictment coming out?
Sure. And we already have an idea based on some, you know, rumors coming out of the courthouse and how this would go down and be managed, because it is expected to be somewhat of a bombastic news either way and could, you know, cause some issues in terms of people being very angry and also rallying support, et cetera. So do we expect Donald Trump to be led into cuffs into 100 Center Street for the classic perp walk? Well, typically, as an attorney for, let's say, Donald Trump in a situation like this, where it's a delicate matter and he's a public figure, he's a former president, you would not want that to happen. But what we hear now is that, you know, Donald Trump would could potentially welcome that. And it's for the same reason, Kevin, because, you know, it's a public relations sort of image that would feed in to, you know, what he's been arguing to his base, right? And, you know, to see Donald Trump being led into 100 Center Street in cuffs by NYPD detectives would be something that I think would be a rallying cry for his supporters. So typically, you know, you wouldn't expect that to happen with a public figure. They would do everything to avoid that sort of public spectacle. But, you know, he may welcome that. And we've heard rumors that he's actually saying to do that. He would welcome that.
Well, so let's suppose that maybe he doesn't go that route. But let's just ask this. Is there any consideration as to how they bring the suspect in, kind of regardless of who it is? If it's based on, like, flight risk or, you know, they're afraid the person's going to be a danger or, you know, wailing his arms around or something like that. I mean, is there... Are those things ever considered? And certainly they wouldn't believe that a former president would conduct himself in that kind of fashion.
Well, you know, Kevin, here's my snarky sort of response to that. Before bail reform, those things were considered. But, you know,
oh, that's
now
true.
Yeah, somewhat of a free-for-all. But, no, listen, no one is
that's a very good point. And you need to be using
to
that everywhere.
Donald Trump, and they can't do so under the laws now, into jail. It's just not going to happen. Even, let's say, arguably, if there was a felony indictment and conviction, you know, you're not going to be seeing Donald Trump behind bars. That's not going to happen on these sort of charges. The alternative, and I think it's the alternative what court officials and law enforcement would be seeking, is to have an arraignment on any indictment that may or may not, you know, if an indictment was reached. That would be, you know, the least intrusive to the court function. You know, so there's been talk about doing a remote arraignment, even appearing, you know, virtually
like via
for
Zoom?
An arraignment. Yeah, you know, because things were the court has now become somewhat of accustomed to doing things by Zoom. On a criminal side, typically you're going to be in the court. But I would imagine that the court officers, the court administration, et cetera, would be doing everything to sort of contain what could be a situation which could be out of control. So those are the considerations to be had. But, you know, on the other hand, like I said, Donald Trump may welcome a more public arrest.
All right, hold that thought. More to come. Biggest story of the year so far legally. Stay with us.
Sponsored by Route 22 Toyota. Who reminds you that if you're tired of dealing with dummies, experience the smart way to buy with Route 22 Toyota.
Dennis Prager here. Visit the Holy Land with me and Inspiration Cruises and Tours. No other trip will be like it. The Stand with Israel Tour. Call 855-565-5519 or visit standwithisraeltour.com.
Craving that signature Sunday sauce? Michael's of Brooklyn will make your place a must. Join Michael's of Brooklyn Sauce of the Month Club. Receive a different jar of Michael's of Brooklyn pasta sauce, homemade pasta and biscotti each month for 6 months. Make your home the place to be with Michael's of Brooklyn signature fresh marinara right in your home. Visit michaelsofbrooklyn.com and order online. That's michaelsofbrooklyn.com. Michael's of Brooklyn, serving the community since 1964.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Wish there was an easier way to navigate the world of real estate. If only there was a way to learn from the best. Well, now there is. Saturdays at 10, our very own Dottie Herman, Vice Chair of Douglas Elliman, gives you the inside track to what is hot in real estate. Stay one step ahead in today's seller's market as Dottie gives her tips on how to make it through the tricky waters. Doesn't matter if you're new to the game or a seasoned vet, you need to listen to Eye on Real Estate. Dottie and her team of experts will guide you as sellers and buyers to make sure you're getting the best value for your property. Whether you want to become a real estate agent or work within the business, there is no better person to learn from than the great Dottie Herman. Why? Because she is the best. Period. So tune in, Eye on Real Estate, Saturdays at 10 on AM 970, The Answer. That's Eye on Real Estate, Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock on AM 970, The Answer.
Balance of Nature, changing the world one life at a time.
I'm in my early 60s. I can't tell you how good I feel all day, especially because I work about a 12-and-a-half-hour shift. I mean, I get up at 4, and I'm at work at 5:30. You know, the afternoons, I would start to kind of lag a little bit, you know, start slowing down. Well, within a day or two, I was not lagging. I had energy. I mean, I was singing and, you know, kind of dancing around a little bit. And I mean, the only thing I changed was balance of nature. That's no lie. That's the truth. I mean, I see it in the commercials and I believe it because I live it.
Start your journey to better health with Balance of Nature. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com to get 35% off your first preferred order. That's 1-800-246-8751. Go to balanceofnature.com or call 1-800-246-8751 and get this special offer by using discount code Brandon.
America First with Sebastian Gorka. Weekday afternoons at 3 and evenings at 10 on AM 970. The Answer. Back to Radio Night Live. Here's Kevin McCullough.
There are so many aspects of the Donald Trump, Alvin Bragg, you know, square off that I think are of such interest, at least for someone who's, you know, kind of an avid, you know, geek like me that just watches this stuff. And, you know, the real life drama of all of it is kind of entertaining on some level. I know that there are big, you know, constitutional issues that relate to, you know, how we, you know, elect presidents and, you know, there should be justice for all. Equal justice under the law is a very constitutional idea and tenet. We need to make sure that that is absolutely being practiced. But that's why I'm so glad to have Imran Ansari with us on Thursday nights and we can break all this down. Imran, I want to go back to the foundation of the charges themselves. And again, we're kind of, to your point at the beginning of the show, we're kind of speculating on what they are. We kind of think we know because if Michael Cohen is the main witness, and he's certainly been willing to go on, you know, TV and stuff in the last few days and talk about what, you know, he's willing to do. I think he was on CNN the other day. But what I want to know is if this is the New York misdemeanor, that would be the fudging of the ledger and putting in the place where the ledger says this is what it is, and he put legal expenses, paying money to his lawyer, as opposed to putting something else down there that would have been more accurate in their viewpoint. If that misdemeanor does not find its way being attached to the campaign finance reform law, then you've got a statute of limitations issue, don't you? Didn't the statute of limitations on this run out about 5 years ago?
No, arguably he has a potential misdemeanor that he could bring, just based on, you know, discovery. You know, it's not only the act; there could be an arguable case of discovery of what could be potentially the crime. All people that, you know, I know, my firm knows, you know, there's countless routes that if an indictment is handed down, that there would be legal challenges to it, Kevin. But, you know, it's more what really would lead a question about this. So the legally, the federal charge, which relies on prosecutors being able to show that the falsification was in furtherance of another crime, or felony, would be something that could be on shaky ground, right? Because you have this blending of jurisdiction that a court may look at this and say, well, you know, the other crime, it would be amount to a federal crime. That wasn't necessarily pursued by the federal government or feds. That crime hasn't been proven in any court of law. So, you know, that felony would be on shaky grounds as it is. And I would imagine that if there are indictments that are handed down, that his legal team are going to be filing motions to dismiss those counts pretty early on. And then what would you be left with? You may be left with just a misdemeanor, Or the grand jury may not even indict on that felony, and you have a misdemeanor indictment, which, like I said, Kevin, you don't typically convene grand juries to go seek a misdemeanor.
No, we got that loud and clear, but my question is, the misdemeanor charge, from my understanding, only has a two-year statute of limitations attached to it. 2 years from the crime is the length of time you have to go prosecute that as the prosecutor. We're 7 years past the crime at this point. I mean, wouldn't the first line of appeal by the Trump team be to say there's no standing for this because the statute ran out?
Right. Yeah. That's why on a motion to dismiss, Kevin. So the first step would be a motion to dismiss the indictment. And if they have the legal ground to do so based on a statute of limitations claim, with 2 years in New York State, 2 years on a misdemeanor from the commencement or the commission of the crime, a prosecution has to be started thereon. I mean, there's arguably tolling statutes, right? So the DA's office for that statute of limitations argument we already know what they're going to counter that with. They're going to counter that with that there was tolling due to Donald Trump's being outside the state, right? So when
he fled like a criminal.
Well, if you are outside the state of New York and you are ultimately then brought up on charges or arrested for a crime or prosecuted for a crime, even if it's outside the statute of limitations period, if the prosecution can show that you were physically outside the state.
The jurisdiction.
For a certain amount of time, you can toll that time, so that doesn't count against you. But that argument also, Kevin, is a little tenuous in this case because I believe Donald Trump came and went from New York.
He never got rid of his apartment. He still has a place here. All right, hold on, Imran. We're going to take a break.
Yeah.
Fascinating stuff. And you're not getting this anywhere else tonight like you're getting it here from the great Imran Ansari. Criminal defense lawyer, former prosecutor, civil litigator. He knows every single angle on this, and we continue next.
It's Dr. Lederman about innovative cancer treatment options often hidden elsewhere. Dr. Lederman discusses all options, what every doctor should do. Patients are amazed at Dr. Lederman's first in America radio surgery, Hidden Options. Non-invasive, outpatient, highly successful treatment where we attack the cancer. I'm Dr. Lederman for your loved one with cancer treatment options that may have been hidden from you when most needed. For newer recurrent cancers, most anywhere in the body, even if prior chemo, surgery, or radiation didn't work or isn't wanted. Call Dr. Lederman, 212-CHOICES, 212-CHOICES, for appointment and free cancer treatment booklet DVD. 1384 Broadway at 38th. Most insurances, Medicare, Medicaid accepted. Learn about hidden cancer treatment options. Hidden no more with Dr. Lederman. 212-CHOICES, 212-CHOICES.
My name is Imran Ansari, and I lead the Civil Litigation Division of Idala, Bertuna & Kamens, the preeminent New York litigation law firm. The tires screech, the impact is felt. Boom. You've just been in a car accident. It's a scary situation that none of us want to experience. But if you have been injured in a car accident, then you may be entitled to significant monetary compensation for your injuries. It's important you speak to an attorney right away to make sure your rights are protected. Myself and our team of experienced trial attorneys will never settle for less than what you deserve. We are always ready to go to court to fight for you and seek justice. So if you or a loved one have been injured in an accident, don't delay. Call Idala, Bertuna & Kamen at 212-486-0011. That's 212-486-0011. Or visit us on the web at idalalaw.com. idalalaw.com. Idala, Bertuna, and Kamens, fighting for justice, fighting for you.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or odyssey.com.
Call in to the Joe Piscopo Show and let your voice be heard.
Hey, let me go to Tom in Boca Raton.
Your show is, in my opinion, the great American story. Joe Piscopo's father, the family, Al, everybody in your show. You guys put together a team. I love your show. Everybody's beautiful. We're very fortunate to have a great American story, Joe Piscopo.
Joe Piscopo, weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on AM 970, The Answer.
Mike Lindell and MyPillow are launching the new MyPillow 2.0 with a special buy one, get one free offer. The MyPillow 2.0 offers a brand new temperature regulating technology that keeps you comfortable throughout the night. The new fabric dissipates heat and humidity to create a cooling sensation to maintain a cooler surface temperature. MyPillow knows core body temperature plays a big role in how well you sleep. The new fabric technology helps regulate your body temperature throughout the night by creating a lower surface temperature for a more restful night's sleep. Machine washable and dryable with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee and made in the USA. Just go to the radio listeners page at MyPillow.com, use the promo code AM970 or call 800-651-0798, 800-651-0798. Don't miss this incredible opportunity to buy one, get one free on the new MyPillow 2.0, 800-651-0798. 0798.
Breaking news and local news. Find it on our website, am970theanswer.com.
Everybody loves my baby, but my baby don't love nobody but me. No one but me.
Back to Kevin McCullough, live from New York.
All right, Imran Ansari, Kevin McCullough, talking the biggest story of the year in terms of the courts, and it's surrounding a misdemeanor, which is kind of weird on its face. But considering it involves a former president, that's never been done. This is all very, very much new ground. Imran, I heard our colleague and your colleague in the legal arena and our colleague in broadcast, Arthur Idala, on his show earlier this week, basically come out and say that he did like and I don't want to misquote him, but he was implying that he had done some sort of, you know, unofficial poll amongst, you know, a few prosecutors that he knows and people in the office and, you know, people in the legal arena. And I'm curious, I mean, and he said he had some very strong conclusions, not of his own opinion, but based on the overwhelming kind of answers that he got from the people that he talked to. I know you're an attorney. I know you're doing media for this story. You're talking to other attorneys. You're talking to people that are, you know, not even attached to the case, but maybe former prosecutors or maybe current prosecutors that have seen whatever the strength of what we think this is. What are your unofficial findings in your kind of unofficial surveying of the legal landscape? What are attorneys in New York saying about this case? And do you think they would be, and would you yourself prosecute this case if this was the amount of evidence that you had in front of you?
Yeah, so Kevin, listen, there's a lot of people, and this is regardless of what party they're supporting. We're here in New York. You know, there's a huge Democratic base, and out of people in the legal world, no matter what, whether you're supporting the GOP or you're a Democrat, the people I'm talking to, and there's who are people who have really a finger on the pulse and are very well connected, as you know, as we are here in my firm, and so we really have that pipeline of information and just thought, right, and opinions from people who really know what they're talking about. And I can tell you that people think it could be problematic on a legal sense, and we've talked about that, like the viability of some of the charges, the felony we already talked about, and even the misdemeanor and how that could be legally challenged.
You think it's problematic for Bragg, for the prosecution?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
But also problematic on a political and optic standpoint because of that timeline I talked about. At one point, Bragg decided not to pursue what appeared to be more serious potential charges against Donald Trump, and that led to a bleeding in his office, if you will, with, you know, the two top prosecutors on the case leaving in sort of a tantrum there, right? And then you have a lapse of time, and all of a sudden you have an active prosecution or seeking an indictment, if you will, for charges that are arguably a lot less, if not sort of questionable. Why is this even being brought? So the word on the street, if you will, in the legal community, there's a lot of people scratching their heads. And
that's what
people,
I wanted to know. Yeah. Are you guys at the pub after your day at the office going, what's going through Alvin's head, man? I can't figure out what he's doing here.
Right. And Kevin, these are not Trump supporters, right? So you know, if you're a diehard Trump supporter, You know what the opinion is going to be about what's going
Look,
down.
Look, Trump haters may be upset with this because if they say, dude, what are you doing? We don't want this guy to run. And, you know, they could totally, like, be as upset with Bragg as, you know, the president is because they think it's going to only boost him.
I was going to say that, too. You know, you have people who are familiar with the law and, what a serious charges or not, and who are politically adverse to Donald Trump. And they're saying, you know what you're doing? You're potentially getting him elected in the next election because now you know that a Trump supporter is a diehard political beast, right? They're going to go to that poll. They're going to vote for Donald Trump. And you're only giving ammo, pouring fuel on a already smoldering, burning fire. And that may not have a damaging effect as an indictment normally would on another politician. But if anything else, it's just going to get more people out. And people start questioning what the motivation is for politicians, prosecutors, and whatnot who are aligned with the opposite party.
I want to, just in the time we have left, real quickly ask you about the Supreme Court story that got handed down around midday today. Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson was the lone dissenter as the Supreme Court vacated an abortion ruling. This is the top line from Fox. The U.S. Supreme Court vacated a federal court decision on Monday that upheld a minor's right to go to court for permission to obtain an abortion, with Justice Jackson authoring the lone dissent in the case. In its decision, the high court overturned a lower court ruling that said a state court clerk could be sued for denying a pregnant teenager's request for permission to get an abortion without her parents' consent. The court remanded the case to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit with instructions to dismiss the case as moot. Can you break it down for us a little bit?
Yeah, I'll try, Kevin. I mean, because so this, you know, listen, we have the Dobbs decision, which came down, which arguably, and that's why I think that you have somewhat consensus on the bench there as to this ruling. I'm trying to put this in simple terms. Vacatur, God, I can't speak right now, is based on a ruling that now moots a legal issue. She is arguing that this didn't rise to the level that solution should have been invoked. Correct.
Okay. Yes. So the case involved a 17-year-old pregnant teenager, and the law in Missouri requires the minor to get permission from her parents. If the state law says parents should have permission to be granted, then that's what it is?
Right. Well, really, no, this is more of a procedural sort of dissent, Kevin. Typically, if you have a ruling from a higher court that really answers the question, here that would be the Dobbs ruling regarding abortion, and sort of wipes out those lower court cases that are percolating up the chain of appeal, then those can be automatically vacated in many ways because or the decision is automatically there. And whereas, you know, in certain exceptions, that's not going to happen. So just in simple terms, Jackson basically stated that this was not the sort of circumstance where. Yes.
Okay.
But yeah.
All right. Well, more on
Munsingwear vacatures maybe are not the most interesting topics.
Maybe not, but we got a full hour of Trump, so I'm feeling pretty good about it. Hey, when we come back, he dons his legal mind and gives us some legal tips for our lives. Esquire etiquette is how we've dressed that up verbally. But looking forward to it as we round out Legal Night here on Radio Night Live. Don't go anywhere. Hi, Kevin McCullough. Now more than ever, I want you to try Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in capsule form. Balance of Nature is not like ordinary vitamins that are made with synthetics. These are just natural food in a vegetarian capsule, and they've got tens of thousands of vital nutrients from 100% whole food plants, fruits, and vegetables. In fact, the daily dose of Balance of Nature capsules has 10 servings of 31 different fruits and veggies in it. And Balance of Nature will give you access, if you call today, to your own health coach at no additional charge because they just want you to live a healthy life. Call
call your personal health coach and discuss any questions and concerns you may have. This is a tremendous service that the Howard family, the originators of Balance of Nature, provide to you at no charge. Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off any new preferred order of fruits and veggies. And remember, the best defense against any virus is your own strong immune system. Start your journey to a better health today by calling 1-800-246-8751. That's 1-800-246-8751. Or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code THEANSWER.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. What does the perfect wedding entail? Just you, the love of your life, your guests, and the iconic New York City skyline. Sound too good to be true? It's not. You can say I do, all with gorgeous views of the New York City skyline in the distance on board the Atlantis Yacht of New York Cruises. Call 212-633-1231 to book your unforgettable event today. New York Cruises is the premier unique wedding venue. They have a dedicated staff of experienced hospitality professionals who can provide you with wedding cruise event planning services every step of the way. Call 212-633-1231 to book your unforgettable event today. Your guests will dine in style on the main deck, sky deck, and lounge deck with 360-degree views of the Manhattan skyline. The Atlantis of New York Cruises is the perfect venue for corporate events, weddings, engagement and anniversary parties, reunions, retirement parties, birthdays, bar or bat mitzvahs, you name it. Call 212-633-1231 to book your unforgettable event today or visit newyorkcruises.com.
This is an important notice to all U.S. taxpayers. The IRS is giving away billions of dollars in tax savings through a federal program called the Fresh Start Initiative to aid delinquent taxpayers. This initiative was established for anyone facing financial hardship and unable to pay their back taxes. Qualifying and enrolling in this program will stop all collections, settle your delinquent tax problem, and even reduce what you owe by thousands of dollars. Call the hotline at People's Tax Relief to see if you qualify and get this free information by dialing 800-419-2387. If you have unfiled tax returns or cannot afford to pay your personal or business back taxes, you can now get the help you need. One simple phone call can resolve your tax problem and save you thousands of dollars. To see if you qualify and to get this important free information, call 800-419-2387. 800-419-2387. 800-419-2387.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Once again, from New York, here's Radio Night Live and Kevin McCullough.
All right, what an hour. Man, did it fly by. And thanks again to Imran Ansari for unloading his legal heft on all things related to the Trump case, as he is able to. But, Imran, you always bring us some Esquire etiquette. What is it for this week?
Sure. I'm going to be talking about if you find yourself unfortunately injured while walking the streets of New York. So New York streets and sidewalks are notorious in many areas of being riddled with potholes, or sidewalks are cracked. And unfortunately, as we are a very pedestrian city, you can have an experience, an unfortunate situation where you may have a trip and fall, or you may step into a pothole and you find yourself with a broken ankle or something more serious, God forbid. But if you do find yourself in that situation, it's important to act immediately by calling an attorney and making sure you document where you fell, what caused you to fall, and that way the attorney could have all the information necessary. Because if that defect or whatever caused you to get injured is part of city property, you have a limited time, and that would be 3 months, 90 days, in order to file what's known as a notice of claim against the city. You need an attorney to help you with that. Because if you blow that time period, that very quick 90 days, you may find yourself later on, once you're outside that time period, saying, hey, I'm really injured. I'm going to sue the city because they caused that crack in the sidewalk to occur. And if you're outside that 90-day period, you may have a losing case from the get-go because you blew that window of time to get that notice of claim into the city. So it's important you talk to an attorney right away if you find yourself injured while walking the streets of New York City.
Well, and that's always good advice. And I know, Imran, sometimes people think, oh, you know what, I think I'll be okay. I don't want to really bother anybody. And then they find out later, you know, oh, I got a serious injury out of all this. It's better to err on the side of always being cautious.
Absolutely. And Kevin, normally I like to bounce our Esquire etiquette off of something that we have talked about during this show. But I would imagine there's not many people out there facing indictment for a possible
from Alvin Bragg. Well, yeah. he may be making an announcement in my case soon. But I think outside of that, there's probably not anybody else.
Or falsification of business records related to possibly election, things like that.
Michael Cohen was a fixer for a lot of people. You just didn't know this aspect of my past. No, I'm kidding, people. I'm kidding. Imran, great to see you, man. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And tomorrow night, we come back with some fun Friday, including comedian Erica Rhodes, who's got a big date coming up at the Midnight Theater in Manhattan and the Brokerage Comedy Club in Belmore. She'll join us along with Christine Nicholas and the whole Fun Friday crew. We hope you'll join us tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, right here.
I'm a lover who's meant for you, and I'll be true. So what's the good of scheming? I know I must be dreaming. And I don't stand the ghost of a chance.